that we be aligned, God, Lord, and understanding, God, Lord, that you're all that we need, God. Lord, that you are, hallelujah, all that you are the answer to all of the hurts of our pains, to God, Lord, you are Jesus, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, God, Lord, you fulfill, you make us complete in you, God. I thank you. I thank you, you provided everything, God. Lord, that we can rest in you in the knowing and understanding that we have hope, hallelujah. Come on, saints, we have hope in Jesus. Come on, just say Jesus. Come on, just say Jesus. Come on, just say his name. There's something about the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Come on, just say Jesus, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, we bless your name. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Lord, we set our hearts to you, God. Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that you align us. I pray to God, Lord, that our hearts are open. Right here, right now, God. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Quicken us, God, tonight. Pray, have your way, God. We trust in you, God. We trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Children may be dismissed. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Come on, he's your Savior. Hallelujah. He's your Savior. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. He's worthy of praise. Amen. Yes, God. I just kind of feel that tonight when we sang that song, I felt like I just heard the Lord really in my spirit saying this. Sometimes we're in places and tough places or wherever we're at. Sometimes we cry out. And I just hear God just say to us, I am. Whatever you're praying for, I am the answer. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. What hope is that? Come on, amen? What hope do we have? We're not lost. Come on, amen? We're not lost when you have Jesus. Hallelujah. We have hope. He says, I am. I am whatever that is, whatever your pain is, whatever your hurt is. I am. Hallelujah to you. I'm your provider. Come on, amen? I'm your peace. I'm your joy. I'm your hope. I am. Trusting in him. Amen? Thank you, Brother Dan. You know, I began to think about this as my, it goes to my sermon, and then I began to just think about what the gift that was given to us of Jesus. I'm a mess sometimes. Come on, amen. I'm a mess. I'm all over the place. I can't keep anything. I break it. That's just what I do. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm a broken person. I break things. But I just wanted to share this because I really felt this. And I began to think about how that God gave us a gift. His name is Jesus. He gave us a gift in a sense where that we understand that it's a gift that never stops giving. And that the more you pursue him, the more you begin to see what he means to you. Come on. That he's more than just salvation and being saved from darkness. He's more than that. Come on, somebody help me tonight. Amen? Is he more than that? I want you to know that he wants you to know him as more than just your Savior. He wants you to know him as a father in a relationship of understanding of who he is to you. And it's more than we can understand that we could see that, yes, we were given this gift of Christ. And God says, this is my son. And his name, you call him Emmanuel. Amen? You call him Emmanuel. He's Emmanuel. That means God with us. Do you hear that? I want you to hear the hope that is in that. We understand that God with us. Hallelujah. That is so powerful, and it's such a hopeful a word that was given to us that the angels declare, God is with you. Amen? And listen, that we're not chasing God around in a box with the presence of God like the children of Israel did. But I want you to know that He's with us. Amen. That God is with you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That you have hope because Christ is in you. And I want you to know that we can understand that that growth in that relationship with God is expanding if we receive it, if we take hold of it. God says, I desire a habitation. Amen. I desire a habitation, that God sent His Son so that He can make a way where there wasn't a way. Amen. So that we can enter in, that we can have this one-on-one relationship, this powerful relationship. We can walk with God, that we can hear Him, that we can trust Him and know Him. Amen. That we're not lost no more. What a great message that we have. Amen. We have a message. It's such a joyful message that we have and hope that we have. Listen, in Romans 15:13, it says this, and it says, now the God of hope, He is the God of hope. He is the God of hope. The God of expectation. Of expectation of something good to come. Do you know that's what we need? And that's who He is. He's the God of hope. That in our relationship with Him, that no matter what it looks like, no matter where you're at in your life, with God there's hope. What a powerful message that we have to know that. That listen, I want you to know that listen, the world out there is lost and dying, but we as men and women of God got to grasp the message that we have of hope. Hallelujah. That we have a Savior, that we understand that our relationship with God, that we're not far away from God, but we are one-on-one with God. We have this, that we are the habitation of God. Amen? That box that carried the presence of God through the wilderness and through those dry seasons is in you now. Amen? He is in you. That presence of God that overcome Jericho. Amen? The presence of God is in you. Those walls that fell, the presence of God was there. It's in you now. Tell someone it's in you. What a message that we have, that we're not lost. And He says, the God of hope, of expectation, fill you with joy. And not just the joy of understanding that, you know, that we have a joy, and it's not a joy that's taken away, a joy that can be taken from us, but with that hope of a God of expectation, that joy comes. Just like right here, right now, of just expressing this, I feel a joy and a peace within my heart of acknowledging a God, hallelujah, that's for me and not against me, gives me peace, gives me hope. The God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, in believing. That's the one requirement God desires of us, is to believe. Is to believe in Him. Is to believe in Him and believe that with Him there's hope. With Him there's expectation, because He is expectation. That no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, wherever you are in your life, there's always expectation when you reach for God. You always have hope to know that things can turn right here, right now. Amen? And it says that you may abound in hope, that you ultimately might abound in hope. That it will surround you. That it will overcome you. That it will be all over you. Amen? He says, through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, as men and women of God that we are, and I am here to encourage you. I am here to inspire you, to strengthen you in the hope that you have in Christ. That listen, I want you to know that He died and He was given to you, not just for us, for our own selfish desires or for our own self, but it's for something greater, that we are the light of the world. Come on, amen. That we are the hope of generations to come. That our children don't have to try to find it. They don't have to reach in darkness and look for it. But me, knowing who God is in my life, can give my daughter that expected hope that I have inside me that can't be taken from me. It can't be robbed from me. No matter what, no matter whether I'm broke, whether I'm lost, whether I'm sick, no matter what, there's an expectation of hope that I can hand to her, that she can feel that she's in this world and she's not alone, that she has hope. Hallelujah. But when you give somebody hope, When they have hope, I'll tell you what, you could do great things, and we can because of Christ. There is hope within us in Jesus Christ. And it just doesn't stay. It gets bigger and bigger. The more that you pursue, it abounds us. It goes beyond my little four walls. It goes past that and beyond that. And it begins to give hope. And it spills out to those that are around me. That be in our presence. That we give them hope of an expectation that it's going to work out, Randy. It's going to get better. Hallelujah. Things are going to turn. See, that's what it is when you have hope. That you could speak into other people's lives that are hurting and broken. That you could speak hope into their lives. Because we're the light of the world. We need to learn to be that. Last week we talked about the simplest thing of just liking people and loving people. Just being nice. Tell someone, be nice. Be nice. Welcome. Yeah, give her a round of applause. Hey, yeah. We started at 6:30, but that's good. We're good. No, she was with her grandbabies. That's good. Amen. I'm just teasing her. I could do that to her. Say, it might abound in hope, that we might abound in hope, that it breaks out of these walls. Amen? Sometimes we're in places that I want us to see something. And there's a story of a woman that it's in 2 Kings 4:8. I want to give this to you. Amen. Amen. 2 Kings 4:8. And Elisha was with the woman from Shunem. And it fell on the day, verse 1, that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. Come on, say that with me. A great woman. This is the beginning of the story. Like, you would think that this would be at the end of the story. Because you really don't know when you first start what's taking place. But I want you to know that this excites me and this has encouraged me, because this woman is mentioned in the Word of God because of what she did, because of her actions, because of her response, because of her perseverance, because there was something within her that she needed something more than what she was experiencing in life. She had a husband that loved her, because you'll see here that he responded to her whenever she asked for whatever it was. But there's something here that she was longing for. She needed hope. She needed hope in her life because there was something missing. I want you to know that we search everywhere else. I want you to know that the simplest, it's so powerful for us to understand. It is that hope that only comes from God. Come on. It is that one thing. It's that one gift that you know. How many gifts have you had over the years? And you had to have that gift. Come on. You had to have that. And that gift that you, then when you get it, you're like, all right, then next year you want that. Oh, there's an expectation to get that. I remember the time when I was growing up, and my mom messed it up where that she got my brother the gift that I wanted so bad. And he wasn't a sharer. Oh. Talk about horrible. Either she was, she wasn't mean woman. I'll pay. You'll pay for it. But she gave him, and I remember him opening up, and I remember watching him open up the gift that I longed for, that I dreamed for, that I dreamt about at night. There it was. This was a massive World War II fortress. It was a mountain scenery with these army men. I don't know if you remember. It opened up, and it was amazing at this time. It was so powerful. It was made of plastic, but it was awesome, and I wanted it so bad. And I watched him in just the box. I said, "Can I have the box?" No. I just wanted a box. But I want you to see that, listen to me, I think that's so simple for us to understand that every time we're always something else that we're looking for. But the only hope that lasts is Christ in me, that we understand that there's an expectation that we have, the hope that it comes from God and God alone. That it fills me up. It's not something I buy. It's not something I try to find it in relationships. No, though, it is the hope that is in God that spills over into my relationships. So here she was, and it called her a great woman, a great woman. You're a great woman. And I just love that, because she was a great woman because of the next verse. And it says, because she constrained him. she constrained him. And I want you to look at this as you and me, that this is powerful because he was going by. He was passing by often. I want you to know that, listen, God desires to visit you. God desires more than just you to visit Him on Saturday night or Wednesday night. God wants more than that. He wants a habitation. And He wants you to learn that, listen to me, you are His habitation, but is He your habitation? Is He my habitation? Because I want you to know there's been people in my life that I love with all my heart, and they didn't care for me. See, in His eyes, you are His habitation. You are the apple of His eye. But is He the apple of my eye? Is He my love? See, that's the question. And so when He passed by, He was always passing by. You know, I want you to know that, man, listen, I say this all the time, but God's a stalker. He's always passing by, desiring to have relationship. There's those times where you're alone and you're on the edge and there's things going on in your life. He's standing there saying, I am here for you. I am here for you. But she constrained Him because she was looking for hope. She was looking for something more than what she's had. All those things were great, but it never filled her up. So she's looking for this hope. And He passed by. It's powerful because I just want you to look at this as God passing by us and always there. That here He is. It's whether or not we take hold of that. Jesus Christ was given to all mankind for the hope of the world. But whether or not we receive that gift is up to us. And whether we continue to open that up and make Him that habitation. What I mean by that, we open our hearts, that we're constantly opening our hearts to continue to make Him a habitation of every area of my life. That I have hope. But it says that she was a great woman. Why? Because she constrained Him. I want you to know that's powerful to say that she was great because of a desire to reach out and grab God. Great is she. She was great in all of her weaknesses. She was great because she had God. Because of who was about ready to make a habitation in her life. And He says that she ate bread, or He constrained her to eat bread with Him, with her. And he turned thither to eat bread continually. He stopped back and forth. I want you to know that, listen to me, this is our relationship with God. Where that we eat bread, we eat the truth, we commune with God. There's so many times where I sit down and I commune with God. This is what you're doing, because this isn't just a book. But this is a living by faith, believing and reading and take holding it and looking at it. Not just words, but these words come alive. There's words that I've taken, that I've read in here, that leaped off the pages. When I read that He is the God of hope, it leaps off the page. Hallelujah. I'm not just in a book, but I'm in you. Hallelujah. That hope is in you. That expectation is in you. So it says they were communing, they were eating bread, they were continuing to eat bread. I want you to know that, listen to me, you're creating hope. You're creating hope as you begin to eat the Word of God and you commune with Him. As you eat His Word together with God, as you begin to bask and continue to be in that relationship, communing with Him, it creates an atmosphere of hope in your life that nothing else can do. Nothing else can do. You're creating the atmosphere. You're creating a place for things to take place in your life that you didn't think could happen. You're setting yourself up, hallelujah, for expectation, for hope, for peace, for joy. Listen. He says He wants more than a visitation, but habitation. But He just passed by. He was just making His way by. That's what God does. God is always making Himself available. And I want you to know, the more you pursue Him, the more you see that He's available more than you've ever thought before. Amen? And He says, and she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passed by continually. This is a holy man. I want you to see that truth that she was partaking of began to release her, began to cause her to say, I want more than just a visit. I want more than Him to visit me. I want you to know that's dangerous when you pursue God and you begin to read the Word. You're going to want something more than just a visitation. Than more than just Pastor Chris giving you something that I got from God. But you say, I want to get something from God. Come on, somebody say amen. I want to get something from God. I want to hear from God. I want to hear what God's saying to me, that God will use me to speak to the body, but God wants to speak to you individually, that He wants to have visitation and habitation in you. So it says he passed by continually, and she says, this isn't enough. He said, he's passed by enough, but I want to make this more than that to him. Next verse, and it says, let us. That's powerful because she didn't do it on her own. Because I want you to know that when you fall in love with Jesus, it's not just about you anymore. You want to make it more than that. Amen. You want to share the gospel. You want to share it because when you're in love with Jesus, listen, when I was in, I'm in love with her. But I remember the first time I met her, I wanted to go back, but I knew, man, I just not right. I stayed too long the first visit. I just wanted to be with her. And then, like, I remember walking to the fair with her for the first time. And, man, I just, this is my girlfriend. This is going to be my wife. I knew it. The moment she stepped out on the porch and she was offering me some iced tea. That was good iced tea. But she was really pretty too. At that moment that I knew it. It was like, whew. And I went home, and I remember went home, and I went, my mom and dad were in bed, and I was knocking the door. What? Dad, I gotta talk. Right now? Pappy, yeah. Right now, Dad. All right, wait a minute. What the Sam Hill? My dad always says that. Dad always says that. That's funny. One of my best friends is Sam Hill. So it's just... So here it comes. He'd come out and... I don't want to... My dad was always one of those people that didn't wear everything to bed. It's okay. He would not care. Dad would come and he'd come to the door that way. Dad! He's like, what? I didn't come to your door. You came to my door. So whatever way I show up at my door is up to me. Dad, it's just not right. I mean, come on. Please, Father. So here they come, Dad, whatever, birthday suit, and here he is. They're sitting there. I said, listen, I met the girl. And listen, the way that I talked, the way that was on me, my mom and dad knew that this was the girl. So whenever they met her, they knew this is her. This is the one that you will marry, son. And it was. See, there's something there that you know. And she knew that there was something here that I got this. I can't just stay this way anymore, but I need more. And with that, you share and you tell everybody. You tell everybody, listen, I met my wife this weekend. I'm going to get married. Really? And a year later, I was married. I would have got married sooner, but I couldn't get a haul. Seriously, I was shooting for March. I met her in September, right? Yeah, in September. So I couldn't get it for a year later. But listen, when you're in love, there's something about that that you want to share it. And you want to share it. When He touches you, and there's something about that. Let God touch you. Let Him love you. There's nothing like it. That's the hope I'm talking about. That nobody else can do. Sometimes we put it off on one another, on spouses, on other people in relationships, that we're looking for a love that only God can give you. Only He can. And it says, and let us, I said pray, He says, let's build an addition. They're going to build an addition, part of the house. They're going to make it part of the house. They're going to make a habitation for this man of God, for the God to be in the house. And it says, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when we come unto us that he shall turn here, that he will come here. Listen, I want to prepare my place. Listen, and this is powerful because we got to see this, that this is a preparation, that I want my heart, every part of me, to be at a place that it's open for God. Hallelujah. To receive God in my life. That I'm able to receive God because I long for hope. I long for peace and joy and love. And the only way that it happens in the realness of it without being religious and acting the part is whenever you let God open your heart to touch you in the most vulnerable places to change you. That's powerful. And she set up herself to be touched by God because she provided Him a bed. And that speaks to me of a place of rest. Then listen to me, no matter where you're at, that we need to lean on Him to be our rest in times of weariness like we talked about Wednesday. Those that are heavy laden, come unto Me, for I will give you rest. See, God wants to be a rest, but we have to be open to a place where that we receive Him, that He can be our rest in our times of weariness, in our times of hurts and times of pains. But we open ourselves up to rest in Him. Because we're busy. We get caught up in so much and we wear ourselves down. And God says, rest in Me. Sometimes we, our minds are working constantly about things that we can't control. And God says, I want you to rest in Me. Provide Me. Give Me a place to dwell. Isaiah 66:1. Listen, it says this. Let me give it to you. I think I can get there. No, that's not it. I'll let Him do it. There He is. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is My throne and the earth is My footstool. Where is the house that You build unto Me? Where is My house? Listen, I want you to see this. I've provided everything for you. But I'm asking you to provide Me a house. I will not invade your space. He won't invade our space. He gave Himself that we receive Him. See, that's what's powerful. See, because it's a gift that we receive. And we can receive His gift of rest. We don't have to be weary. We don't have to be in our own constant work and trying to make things happen on our own. But we can trust in Him. He says, where's My house and where is the place of My rest? Where's My place of rest? Where's My habitation? And the other one was, the next one was a table. And that speaks to provision. That you set up this table. Listen, God says, you provide. You provide the heart. You provide the place, and I'll fill it. You provide a table, an empty table. You don't have to put anything on it. I'll bring everything that's needed. Wow. I've prepared you a banquet. Everything that you need is provided. But sometimes we'll go through the drive-thru. And God, He's got a smorgasbord. He's got a buffet of everything we need. Take hold. I'm providing it for you. So here's this provision that we have. That God, I want you to see this. Listen to me. It was one piece of furniture at a time. I want you to know that that's our relationship with God. That in those places you learn to come to that place where you begin to furnish the house. To open yourself up. You're furnishing a place for God to step into. Those places that have been hurt. Those places that you provided for yourself. A table for yourself. The places where you have made a bed of rest. A place where you've rest. Where you've done it on your own, where you've worked and you've did it on your own, but now you've provided for God to hear. You take your place in My life. You take the provision for Me, God. And the next part was stool. And the stool speaks of, it always speaks the footstool speaks of a conquest. Make the enemies a footstool. I want you to know that sometimes we take on battles on our own, but I want you to know that we need to be like David. David stood in the midst against the enemy, and he sat before the Lord. He opened his heart up. He said, God, here I am. And he had that in the midst of obedience and trusting in God, that his heart was vulnerable and open to God, where that he provided a footstool so that God can have a victory in his life. See, we need to provide for God. We need to make ourselves an opening. Open our hearts to provide to God a place that we can have some victories in our life. I want you to know that every one of us, we set ourselves up for victories when we open ourselves up to God. Lord, I need this victory in my life, God. And there's something about that when you get some victories. Hallelujah. You line some up behind you. Listen, there's so many times that different ones that people that have been, that I have had my experiences with addiction. And whenever you get that first victory, don't stop there. Just give it to God and let God begin to pile up some victories in your life. One after another, something happens within you. The confidence builds within you and you do not want to go back anymore. You can't stand the smell of defeat anymore. You don't want to look that way no more, because you're liking victory. Come on. It's like when the Steelers lose, we hate it because we're not used to losing like the Green Bay. All right, the Giants, I'm sorry. I'm making enemies here. Listen here. Jehoshaphat set a footstool before the Lord. And the enemy was coming after him. And he had a choice, just like every one of us, either have visitations or let God be a habitation in your life. And Jehoshaphat was in a place where that he was threatened by the enemy. He could have feared, he could have run, he could have just... But he says, Lord, I'm going to open myself up to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to open myself up to Him. And it says, and Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout Judah. He put himself before the Lord. He opened himself up. God, this is scary. I don't care. This guy is threatened with devastation, with an enemy coming towards him. And he's standing there and says, God, I have no other choice, but my expectation, my hope is in You. And he stood his ground and he set himself in that place and God came to him and it says and the word of the God was this, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Hallelujah. He says, set yourselves, stand and you shall and still and see the salvation of the Lord. I just want you to watch it because you're about ready to get a victory in your life. Hallelujah. Because you sought me first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and these things shall be added unto you. Sometimes we're not getting any victories because we're not seeking Him first. Sometimes what we do is we end up getting wounded because we try to go fight our battles without the Lord. And we get wounded and we get mad at God because of it. I've been there. So he says, set yourself and stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And he says, fear not. Don't be dismayed. Because tomorrow, go out against them and the Lord will be with you. The Lord will be with you. Man, I want you to know that when he went to bed that night, I do not want to go to bed without seeking God about a situation for a victory. I can't get rest, and I don't want to get rest. That's why sometimes we get weary, because we're not in a sense where we're seeking God for that answer, for that victory in that moment. He says, I'm not going to bed till I get this. And he got that answer from God. And in the midst of that thing, he said, and I want you to know that he laid his head down that night with expectation that God was going to do something great. Man. Listen, I want you to know that with that kind of faith, I want you, no one has to force you. The pastor doesn't have to convince you to fall in love with Jesus. With that kind of faith, we will run and not be weary. Hallelujah. We will run, hallelujah, and not be weary. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. And he says, you're going to get some victories. And then the next thing was a candlestick, a light and a life before you. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Let me get a drink. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I've said this for so long, that the more light you get, the more what? Life you get. The more light you get, the more life you get. The more lights you get, the more life you get. Why? Because I want you to know this, and I don't care that you turn the lights off in this place, there's going to be some people knocking their knees and bouncing off of things and one another, and there's going to be confusion. I want you to see the more lights you get, and all of a sudden you get a little bit of a light. We do turn off the lights on Randy all the time, and he's trying to find his way out of the service. At the end of the night, he can't. But I want you to see that if there's just a flicker of light, you turn all the lights, but you just get one light lit, that it gives you some hope. It gives you some hope from where you're at, that it might be dark, but if you just see that light, it's like that lighthouse shining, that when you come up over those waves and you see a light shining, something within you brings expectation, a hope that can't be bought. Hallelujah. You can't try to muster this thing up. When you get that little bit of light, you begin to get some more life. So you begin to create this place for a habitation to God, and God's on the move because God's in the house. And when God's in the house, there creates that atmosphere where things that are dark become light. They can't stay that way no more. When light is around, I want you to know that, listen to me, you'll fall in love with Him more. You know why? Because what will happen is the more you reach for Him, the more light you get, the more you will be aware of what you didn't see before. You begin to see those things that you didn't know were even there that God had for you. All these things. I got this for you, son. It was all here. And the more we get, the more we see. Wow. Wow. I didn't know that was there. I didn't know I had that. You have it. Tell someone you have it. I'm going to finish up here. Listen. Where am I at? 2 Kings. He says, let us make a chamber. He says, and it fell on a day that he came to it. And he says, he turned in the chamber to lay there. Why? Because, listen, because she prepared a place. Sometimes we say, well, God's not talking to you. Have you prepared a place? Have you set yourself up? I'm saying that I want to help us. I want us to say, because I sometimes hear God take the flack on things that He's passing by, but you got to make Him a habitation. We got to make Him a place to dwell. We got to set ourselves up to say, here, God, here I am. Every miracle that ever took place, there was always somebody breaching the crowd. There was always somebody going past the barriers that He walked by, but they made a decision in faith to say, I got to get to Jesus. Hallelujah. It was that same faith that caused a man to look foolish, to climb up in a tree, that just if he could see Jesus, that he would change his mind on what he thought of Him. It was the same woman, the woman that was bowed down to the ground, that she had to look up to find Jesus over the crowd, and she was just looking through the crowd. But her perseverance, that she said, man, if I just see Jesus, and she was bound to the earth for 18 years, but she stayed in that position, and she was there, but she wasn't going to let it keep her down, that she wasn't getting angry. He was just passing by. She had to, by faith, reach out and grab hold of Him. She had to, by faith, reach out and take a hold of Him and say, I need you in my life. And He turned around. He said, who touched me? That faith touched me, and you're healed in Jesus' name. It's that same faith that went up on a roof that had a desire, these young men, to get their friend to be touched by Jesus, to get in the presence of God, that they began to rip off the roof, that no matter what was in the church, people were in the church thinking, these are a bunch of idiots too excited about Jesus. They didn't care, because they began to pull the roof off. They began to rip off the tiles, and they began to lower them down, and He looked up to them. He said, because of your faith, this man is healed. The house was full of people that let Him pass by. But these guys said, I'm going to get Him. I want Jesus to habitate this place. I need Jesus to make this a house of prayer. This a house. And it says, and it's Gehazi, and it says, and he turned the chamber and lay there, and he says, he stood there before him. And he said unto them, behold, thou hast been careful for us with this care. What? What can I do for you? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these will be added unto you. She sought the kingdom of God. She wasn't looking for anything. She just wanted this relationship. He said, but I know what's in your heart. He says, you long for a child. She began to cry and she goes, don't tease me. Don't give me expectation you won't fulfill. He looked at her and he says, too late now, darling. The door has been opened. And he says, and he went and he says, when he's done that, he called to her and he says, when he had called to her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, about this time next year, in 9 months, you will have a child from this moment. I think it's so powerful because she stood in the doorway. And doorways always speaks of access to another dimension, to another level. Because she provided herself as a sacrifice, a place for God to habitate. It provided a doorway for an access for heaven to touch earth. It provided a place for God to move through. Wow. I want you to know that God just doesn't want to fulfill your dreams, but He wants to use you to give hope to those that are lost. Come on. He wants to use you to be the hope to the lost, the weary, the broken, the hurt. He wants you use you because you have a passion for Him and excitement for Him. He wants you to heal your neighbor, your brother, your friend, those that are around you, to be life to them, to be light to them, to give them some victories. Because you got your victory. You're going to help them get their victory. I'm going to stand with you till you get your victory. Listen. Doors and access. And it says, and the woman conceived and she bore a son. Go figure. Hallelujah. I want to say this and I want to say it in the right way. When you create a place of intimacy, you will birth something. Thank you, Kelly. When you create a place of intimacy, you will birth something. Sometimes we want relationship, we want to birth something, but we're never intimate in relationship with God. In a way of worship, that God can touch your heart, plant a seed of faith in you, that you can give birth to purpose. Come on. That God can put expectation within you because you come to a place of intimacy. She opened up her house. She opened her heart. That's intimate. Come on, hear me. That's intimate. She opened up her heart for this expectation to come in, to open up. The Bible says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and let the King of Glory come in. Open the doors, hallelujah. Open wide the doors. Spring wide the doors. And let the King of Glory come in. So that we can bring forth purpose with that relationship that we have with Him. Read the Song of Solomon. You want to still see what it's talking about. Intimacy and relationship. It gives power to give birth to hopes, to the nature of God. Mary gave birth to the nature of God. Just like every one of us are to give birth to the nature of God, to the image and likeness of God. Amen? And it says, and the woman did that, and it says, but she gave birth to her son, she gave birth, and just a little bit later, I want you to hear this, and I'm trying to finish this. She went out in the field, her son went out in the field, he grew up, and he was, I don't know how old he was, but he got to a place. And I want you to remind yourself that you've created a place of hope. Hallelujah. You're not hopeless in the midst. And I want us to understand that even us men and women of God, that I'm not a preacher that just preaches all good tidings. I want you to know that we still go through things. Tell your neighbor you know it. We still go through things, but I don't go through things without hope. Hallelujah. I don't go through things without expectation. This will turn from me in the end. This will work for my good. And I'm faithful. And so they went on. And it says, and his daughter, his son, it says that he fell and he hit his head. He hit his head. I want you to know that, listen to me. I want you to hear this. Mothers and fathers with your children, that I want you to know you prepared a place of intimacy, a place that things can happen for victories in your life, that no matter what happens to your children out there, you trust in God in the midst of it. My mother and father, that no matter where I went, it looked dark, it looked miserable, and I hit my head a few times. Because there's no way you would act that stupid without hitting your head. But my mother would lay on my bed, holding my pillow with oil, anointing oil. She would take that anointing oil and put it all over. No wonder I broke out a lot when I was young. But she would put that oil all over it. And she created a place for access for God to step in and touch, hallelujah, me. And I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was happening. But little did I know that God was, He was making some visits. And His presence was near me. And I didn't even realize it. I had a mother that made way for God in her life. That gave access because of her prayer to her son. That was lost and broken because of her faithfulness. This isn't just about you. It's about another generation. It's about another generation. Listen. And he says, she fell his head and she says, and when he had taken him, he brought her, the mother, the father brought him in and he sat on his knees till noon and he died. He says, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. She laid him upon that bed, upon that place where the, she knew. I love this. And it says she shut the door. You got to see this. She went up there. She took her burden. She took her heaviness. She took what was wearing her. She could have panicked. She could have flipped out. Come on, like we can do. But she knew what to do because she's prepared her heart over these years. She's provided a place for God, a habitation for God. So she knew what to do in the midst of it. That she went up there and she laid it in the presence of God. And she shut the door. We need to shut the door sometimes on things and don't look back on it. Hallelujah. God, you got this. I'm going to trust you through this. I'm not going to worry and get an ulcer about this thing, but I'm just going to trust you to do it. But what we do is we jump in and say, oh, I got this. And we try CPR to bring something back that's dead, alive again, and you can't do it. Put all our efforts on and wonder why we're weary, trying to bring something dead, alive, on our own. But she shut the door. And she says, I know where I'm going. I want to have this kind of, this is why this was a great woman. Because it says that she left that place. Listen to this. Her husband's looking at her. It says, and when she says, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? I will go to him today. It's not the new moon. It's not Sunday, honey. It's not Saturday night. You're going to church tonight? I'm going to church tonight. I'm going to go find the presence of God. I'm going to get in the presence of God because I'm desperate. Hallelujah. There might be some people that might not love Jesus like you do. And you know what? You got to say, that's okay. But I'm going to go get Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to seek the presence of God. And he said, listen, and here's the thing. It says that when she got on the donkey, listen, wherefore thou wilt go this day? He says, and she saddled. No, go back. I like that. Don't get offended. You ready? Saddled an ass. You can laugh. It's in the Bible. Funny. Is that funny, Frank? He says, said unto her servant, drive and go forward and slack not. You're riding for me. Hallelujah. I've never done this before. I want you to know that your perseverance and fire that's in your heart will cause you to do what you didn't do before. It'll cause you to run and not be weary. It'll cause you to run. He says, don't slack for me. Don't worry about me. I'm going to hang on to you. I might bounce, but you ride and you let it go and you get to the presence of God. Don't hold back for me. Let's get going. I love that kind of faith. And she went and she came to the man of God. Let me get through this. And as he was coming afar off, I want you to know that God knows your concerns. He knows what's coming before you even left the place it was. He says that here she comes. I want you to go out and ask her what's wrong. Listen, and he wasn't known, but God knows what's going on. Gehazi didn't know. I prayed they'd meet her. Next verse, ask everything as well. Here's what she said. He says, and when she came to the man of God, the hill, he caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust. Oh, go back. I'm sorry. Real quick. I prayed, he says, ask him, it is well with my child. And she answered, it is. It's well. Listen, in my eyes, I want you to see. The facts are, it ain't well. But the truth is, it's all right. He says, and it was well with the child. She answered, it is well. Next verse.
And it says, and she went and she says, he caught the feet. Hallelujah. She grabbed the feet of the man of God. And she wasn't going to let go. Here's this crazy lady again. And he says, the Lord hath hid from me that what has told me. Next verse. He says, and then said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say to you, don't deceive me? He says, and then he said, gird up thy loins and take thy staff. He says, and I want you to go, Brother Dan. I want you to go. He says, and he tells his servant, he says, I want you to go. And he says, and she says this. Listen, I want you to get this. She told him, he says, go home, go home. She says, I'm not leaving without you. I'm not leaving without you. My hope is in you. My hope is in you. I can't go. I have nothing else. Nothing else is going to work for me but this. I'm here to tell you, I've served God for over 30 years, and nothing, nothing gives me hope as God. No matter where I've been, no matter what I've went through in my life, I have hope. That's a foundation that's in me, is Christ. It says that she went back, and it says, and the man of God went up, and he says, he went in. I want you to know that this was so powerful because it was provided for. He had a place to go. I want you to see this, and we could see that Corrie Ten Boom, she said this. She goes, you need to make your prayer life like a steering wheel, not a spare tire. So simple. She survived the Holocaust. What a story. But she had hope. And make your prayer life a steering wheel that drives you, not a spare tire. And it says that he went, he got to that place that she provided for him. And he went up to the room, shut the door. And it says, and it goes on, it tells what he did, but at the end he says, and he laid himself, he spread himself upon it. No matter what, I want you to know that we need to learn to put ourselves before God, lay it before Him, whatever it is, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you're at, lay it before God. You provide a place for God. You provide a habitation. Provide the furniture of an open heart, a place where that God can dwell. And you'll create a faith, an opening, that without you even knowing, you are doing something for the future, for your family, for those that in store. You're doing something for yourselves. You're preparing something that you don't have to try to find later. You're doing it right now. You're creating an atmosphere of hope. Setting yourself up that you're not lost, you're not in darkness, you got some victories. Would you stand to your feet? Jesus, show us. accepted Christ in your life as your Savior, I want you to come. Come on, I want you to come. If you haven't made that decision that you long for hope or you're looking for hope in your life, I want you to come. I want you to come. And I want as we sing this song that even those that maybe you do know Christ or this and that, if you just need prayer, I want you to come as we sing this again. Hallelujah. Just let God minister your heart. Oh, yes, God, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I fall.
I'm falling on my knees.
Come on.
I'm falling on my knees.
Be a habitation. Lord, that we don't walk without every day reminding that you are the gift, hallelujah, that you desire habitation. Lord, that you desire more than a visitation 2,000 years ago, but you came to stay. You came to abide within us. Lord, I thank you. I pray to God, Lord, that we walk in faith. We walk in this word, receiving it to the glory of your name. And we will declare that we are
highly favored.
In Jesus' name. Come on, hug on somebody. Love somebody in Jesus' name.